When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
And I've been someone for the last few weeks that have been telling you the Chiefs are not a dangerous team this year. They're just dangerous in the eyes of everybody because of who their quarterback is, and we all know how great their quarterback is. But this Chiefs team, they are reminding me like a football team from a few years ago. And that football team are the 2019 New England Patriots, who had a good record. They won 12 games, and then come playoff time, they lost the first game of the playoffs with Tom Brady to Tennessee, when Mike Vrabel walked in and ended up being the final game of Tom Brady's career in a Patriots uniform, because the year after that, Brady went into free agency and he joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that team got off to a really good start in the Patriots. Then they showed you some signs of weakness down the stretch. You knew there was no one really on the offensive side of the ball that intimidated you, because Julian Edelman wasn't 100%. He was hurt. Their offensive line was extremely problematic. And then the other wide receivers were like, who? Remember, that was a year where they had Antonio Brown for the first two games of the season. And then there was a lot that happened with Antonio Brown, and the Patriots had to get rid of Antonio Brown. So you could see that team in New England, and it's similar to the way that most people are going to talk about Kansas City, where when you watch them, you're saying, wow, that's not really a good team. But your eyes and your brain then says to you, wait, but they have Patrick Mahomes. They have Travis Kelce. They have Andy Reid. So they're always going to have a shot. And Kansas City, even though I don't trust them, as long as they have 15, they could beat any team in the NFL. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you will do something. And even in a year where it's open, football is still up for the taking, and we don't have a lot of clarity, because whenever we fall in love with the team, they lose. Look, everyone fell in love with the 49ers, and they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. And watch, now everyone's going to fall in love with the Baltimore Ravens. Would it shock anyone if Miami walked into Baltimore this weekend and beat Baltimore? It wouldn't. And I absolutely love what the Baltimore Ravens have done from start to finish so far this season. But I see Kansas City, and there's just more and more signs by the way that they play that, yes, a year ago, we had a similar conversation where it's, oh, Kansas City's vulnerable. Kansas City's not as good as they once were. Kansas City misses Tyreek Hill, and they still found a way to win playoff games, two of them, get to the Super Bowl, be down by 10 at halftime, and then come on back, beat the Eagles, and you had another Lombardi trophy going to Kansas City. But that is extremely tough to replicate in back-to-back years when there are similar problems from what you had last year and everyone got a year older, and it seems like their lack of talent on offense has become a bigger issue. And a big key to them is getting Isaiah Pacheco back. And you saw him get a touchdown yesterday. Because outside of Kelce, and Kelce, he is not having a great season. There is some sign of decline with Travis Kelce, and still, Travis Kelce is one of the better tight ends in the NFL. But you saw him drop a football the other day, and they went back and they did the same play on a screen pass. It didn't make any sense, and there's been some big drops with Travis Kelce. But when you still have a good player in Kelce with a great player in Mahomes, you need another spark. And Pacheco is probably their most intimidating offensive player outside of 15 and 87. And he came back yesterday, ran some wildcat play, and then got hurt. And really, the Chiefs season was kind of summarized in one video. And it was Isaiah Pacheco going to the bench to get checked out. He goes on the medical, inside the medical tent, and they didn't get the tent up yet. And he's on a table, and he fell right through the table. Like, that's like, even the tables aren't working in Kansas City right now. And it's a problem. And you see a spell being casted on this team. And I've seen this before, where they give me a new producer, and it's a new dog, but it's the same old tricks. Because I saw this with my last producer in Hot Take Hickey, where any team he would touch, they would turn to crap. They would turn to garbage. And Santer leaves one crappy team in the Jets, and he gets on board the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon, and they don't have a prayer to get to the Super Bowl this year. Santer, you are the one to blame. Like, we are lucky we don't have to go to Kansas City this year. Like, I love my time going there to the draft. But if we had to go back there for the draft this year, whenever the Chiefs lose in the playoffs, let's say divisional round weekend or conference championship weekend, whatever it is, you would be public enemy number one. Now, actually, some people may say it's Taylor Swift these days, because I lived a similar fight. When Tom Brady first having a little bam chicka wham wham time with Gisele Bündchen, the Patriots stopped winning. Now, all of a sudden, Taylor Swift, and this is not an anti-Taylor Swift take. I like Taylor Swift. I don't want the Swifties coming after me. But there are some people saying, ever since Taylor Swift's having a little bam chicka wham wham time with their tight end and Travis Kelce, maybe his priorities are lined up in a different place, and now Kansas City is going to go through their period of not winning games. So I'm looking at this, and I'm not blaming Taylor, because I don't want the Swifties coming after me. I'm blaming you. Like, you look like you just robbed a bank with how you're dressed up today with that hat. You're robbing the Chiefs of more Super Bowls because you elected to go join that team and be a part of that fan base.
I mean, you can say what you want. We still haven't even hit the playoffs. And
they lost to the Raiders.
If you had to ask me who I trust more in the postseason, Patrick Mahomes and that offense or Lamar Jackson, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Just wait till you see what happens, right? Okay. The Ravens will clinch the one seed. They'll get to the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs will roll into Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes will throw for 300 yards. Lamar Jackson will be down in the fourth quarter. He won't be able to bring the team back with his arm, and the Chiefs are going to go back to the Super Bowl. This is what happens every single time. It's what happened against the Titans. It's what happened against every time Lamar Jackson gets to the playoffs. He looks great in the regular season. He's like Peyton Manning, except without as good of an arm, without as good of a passing game. He's going to get to the playoffs. He's going to go down early against some team, and he won't be able to come back, and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to do what they do every single year.
But even if you're right that the Ravens come up short, why should we then still trust that Kansas City's going to be better than everybody else? That defense, which I gave a lot of praise to early in the season, they're not starting to look too hot. They're making like these mistakes that we've never seen them made before. Like, two touchdowns in 7 seconds, a pick six, and then you had the other touchdown as well. And this has been a disaster. And this offense right now sucks. This is not a good offense. And you see the look on Patrick Mahomes' face. Other years, like last year, he never looked frustrated. This year, he looks frustrated. This team was 7-3. Actually, 7-2. Then they lost to Philadelphia. They were 7-3. They played a crappy first half against the Raiders. Then they came alive in the second half. They got to 8-3. They lost to Green Bay. They lost to Buffalo. Then they beat the Patriots. Oh, gee, Mike. Oh, gee, golly. What a win against the Patriots.
Yeah, the Pats just won this week.
Okay, against a fraudulent Broncos team.
There goes Caleb Williams. Sorry, buddy. There goes Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that. But you were going up against the Broncos, who have a coach and a quarterback who don't like one another. And they're both getting paid a lot of money, and a lot of draft picks were given up by the Denver Broncos to get that coach and the quarterback. And then you go up against the Raiders with Aiden O'Connell, and you lose that game. That is now 1, 2, 3, 4 losses since November 20th. The Chiefs don't get 6 losses in a season.
Everybody goes through ups and downs in their season.
This is a big down. This is not just up and down, little seesaw
it's
ride.
Four
one week
games,
off.
It's fine. They're the defending champions. They've won twice in 4 years. Mm-hmm. They're fine.
Okay.
All right, they're going through a down period, just like the Eagles are going through a down period, just like the Bills look hot right now, and they're going to fall flat in the playoffs like they always do, like Lamar Jackson always does. It's the NFL. Like, you know, the regular season is what the regular season is. Come playoff time, single elimination.
This ain't the NBA, my
friend. It's going to be Chiefs and 49ers. We all know it. It's not even a question
at this
point. No, we
don't, because you know who you sound like? You sound like me in 2019. Oh, we see this song and dance all the time with Tom Brady.
That's a terrible, terrible insult. Please never compare me to you again.
You should be honored to be compared to me. I'm sorry. Whose show are you on? I don't want to be that jerk, but what does this screen say behind me? What's the name of the show?
My vision is a little bit hazy after all the food from this weekend. It says something like Samter something.
Carlos, I know you have two working eyes. What does this say right behind me?
Zach Gelb show.
Oh, that's right. You know, don't come into my house and don't urinate on my carpeting. Don't be a bad dog.
I will say this. I'm in charge of cutting up all the tape and all the clips for the show. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, don't piss off the server at the restaurant. Don't piss off the guy who's going to put out all the social media stuff for
you. You want to do something wrong and do something dirty to my food? I'll get the last laugh on this one. That's A-okay, Samter. Don't you worry. You hit low, I'll hit lower. Don't you worry. And it's tougher to get lower than you.
About to say, you can't get much lower than me at this point.
I am flexible.
If we're going to go into a down-low competition, you're already starting from a far back position.
You know, I started from the bottom, now I'm here. And I'm not going anywhere. But I'm telling you, there's too many signs and there's too many signs of dysfunction with this Kansas City Chiefs team, even in an open year of the AFC, for me to blindly trust them. And you are blindly, and I mean blindly, trusting this football team. And in a lot of other years, your argument would have merit because they deserve the benefit of the doubt. But we are now talking about a full month. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games where this team has been 2-4. Those are signs that this is not going to be a super year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, a team that I also have a lot of respect for, the Philadelphia Eagles. There are signs that this team is screwed. They're 11-4. Like, it's one thing when the Chiefs are 9-6 to criticize them, but when you're 11-4, it's tough to criticize a team, especially a team that should get the benefit of the doubt, because they were one of the more dominant teams, if not the most dominant team in football last year. And that football team has a lot of good experience. But in the last week, we have heard reports about concern about Jalen Hurts and his leadership skills. We have also, in a win yesterday, and I know it wasn't a pretty win, but we saw Devontae Smith, who's one of my favorite football players ever. I loved him at Alabama. He was visibly upset on the sideline yesterday. We also saw Hassan Reddick, who I knew before anyone knew about Hassan Reddick when he was a walk-on. I saw him practice at Temple University. Heck, I got the guy his first autograph deal. He was in my car about 3-4 months before he was getting drafted. Hassan Reddick looked upset with the coaching staff. Something's going on in Philadelphia, and I think we hit the nail on the head last week when we brought on Ike Reese. Where last year, they were 1-1. Last year, they had elite team chemistry. It seems like there is something more. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to speculate. But it seems like there's something more going on behind the scenes. Because let's just say you want to take the Samter approach, where a team gets the benefit of the doubt. The regular season's really irrelevant, which is tough to do in the NFL. And they'll just turn it on come playoff time. That's like an approach you could take. But Philadelphia is clearly showing you and talking and giving you signs that something isn't right this year. And I don't know what changed, because I was in that locker room at times last year. That locker room, it was amazing to see, from veterans to rookies, how everyone was just coming together and they were elite with team chemistry. And now at 11-4, with still everything in front of you, this team looks lost. Here is Devontae Smith after the game talking to the media. Just listen up, because he was one of the players that was clearly irate after the game on the sideline.
11 wins, we're not playing good football right now. As an offense, we're not where we want to be. So, I mean, I'm not satisfied. Yeah, we got 11 wins. I'm not happy. It needs to be better for what I want to do, what everybody else in here wants to do, where we want to be. We're nowhere near that. So, no, I'm not happy.
Is that kind of the sense you get from a lot of your offensive teammates?
I think that's pretty much anybody in here, man. They'll probably tell you the same thing. We know we can be, and we know we're not there yet, and we have a lot to do.
And also in that Jeff McClain article, it said they were one of the worst 10-1 teams, right? People felt that way, that they were one of the worst 10-1 teams, and there were so many issues, and one of the unhappiest was the exact phrase, 10-1 teams that they've ever seen. Since then, they are 11-4. They got blown out by the Niners. They got blown out by the Cowboys. They allowed Drew Lock, to go 92 yards down the field in the final 90 seconds. And then yesterday, they beat the Giants, but the Giants stink. Like, you went from Tommy Cutlets to Tyrod Taylor. That's just a bad football team. This Eagles team, and I usually give them the benefit of the doubt, right? I have a lot of ties to Philadelphia, going to Temple, living there for 8 years of my life. Like, I love Philadelphia. but I don't trust this team. And some of the whispers that people were saying when they were 8-1, 9-1, 10-1, it's playing out right in front of our eyes that even in what feels like a wide open year in the NFL, I don't trust this team to come together as one in the final few weeks of the season.
Do you think this is more of a Sirianni issue, a Jalen Hurts issue, or is this a deeper thing than just Sirianni and Hurts?
It's almost inconceivable to me with how much Jalen Hurts.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, it's inconceivable to me. Why, you've never heard that word before?
No, you've never seen The Princess Bride before?
Oh. Yeah, you missed that reference. I got it right away.
Sorry.
You know. Inconceivable. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
I do not have a kid, not that I know of. And then also...
But you never watched it as a kid? I've seen that movie about...
What movie?
The Princess Bride?
No.
You've never seen The Princess Bride?
No. Never seen Princess
That's
Bride.
A mistake. Now, at this point in your life, if you watch it, you're not going to appreciate it. You have to watch it when you're younger. Yeah. But it is one of the five greatest movies ever made.
My favorite children's movie
It's not a children's movie.
What do you mean it's not a children's movie?
It's great if you're younger, but it's not a children's movie.
What is it rated?
I think it's PG-13. Okay. It might be R because there's killing.
I don't think The Princess Bride is rated R. Now, I know nothing about the movie, but just based off the name, it's tough for me to imagine that's a rated R movie. But my favorite children's movie is Mulan. I'm a big fan of Mulan. Let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. Ha! It's amazing movie. But to answer your question, it's inconceivable to me with the way that these teammates talked about Jalen Hurts last year, that Jalen Hurts is the main problem. Like, can he improve some leadership things? Absolutely. So maybe it is more of a Sirianni problem. And Sirianni was one of those like wild card hires because we didn't really know much about him. And he's an acquired taste. And that could work. Like, look at what's happening with Dan Campbell and Mike McDaniel. And Sirianni, right, they got off to that slow start. He had that wacky flower speech, and then they made the playoffs. Last year, they got to a Super Bowl. But sometimes when you are a player's coach, and Sirianni is a player's coach, this guy wears the jerseys of his players sometimes the games. Are you a player's coach that when you need to control the room and give it to your players, they respect you? Or are you a player's coach where they just look at you as a doormat and walk all over you? And I don't know the answer to that. But that team has too many veterans, too many guys that have won, and too many guys that have great success in this league for it to look this bad. And that's the alarming part to me, that it seems like there's no control of that locker room. And just a year ago, that was the best team chemistry out of any team in the NFL. And PFF won't tell you any of those stats, right? And it's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That wasn't nice. All righty, we will take a break. Samter brought up the Broncos. It's clearer and clearer that Sean Payton and Russell Wilson don't like each other, and they don't seem to be this great match. What's going to be the future of the Broncos? We'll talk about them next.
Let's face it. Most people aren't making massive turkey feasts on the regular. And after 364 days of not thinking about it, it can be hard to get that bird just right. That's where Instacart, the holiday rescue app, comes in. From getting all the ingredients to prep a full seasonal spread to getting last-minute swaps in a turkey emergency, Instacart has everything a holiday host needs to save face and save dinner. And right now, if you download Instacart, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders and delivery in as fast as 1 hour. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This is a great movie, Mulan. Phenomenal. Top of the list.
This is one of the more underrated Disney movies of all time.
It's kind of like Lamar Jackson. You know, it doesn't get enough praise. It's great. It's phenomenal. All it does, it wins. And then there's still like idiots that won't give it praise. That's the way that I would perfectly describe it. I'm sure Tony in Toronto is going to call back up. Mulan sucks. I'd rather have 15 other movies than Mulan. I could hear it now coming from Tony in Toronto. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'll make a point about the Broncos in just a second, but let me hit up Michael in Las Vegas next up on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, what's happening?
Zach, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it. Mike, what's cooking?
A couple quick stats. Aiden O'Connell, 4 rushes, minus 4 yards. Mahomes, 10 rushes, 53 yards. Lamar Jackson, 7 rushes, 43 yards. My question is, are we doing the same thing we did last year? I'm worried about O'Connell. Like, we scored 0 points 2 weeks ago against Minnesota. I thought we could have put Jimmy G in. I thought he would have had a better chance to win that game. That was
you won the game against Kansas City.
Yeah, but he didn't make complete a pass the last three quarters.
Yeah, that's fine. Michigan, when they went up against Penn State, didn't complete a pass in the second half. They won the game because they ran the ball down their throats and played great defense.
My question, Zach, is Antonio Pierce not making the right decisions? Are we doing – I thought they could have put in Jimmy G against Minnesota. Are we saving him or something again?
Jimmy G stinks, Mike. Jimmy G should never be the quarterback. I say this as someone that is a Patriot fan. When people want to join – Mike, this is how this works. You speak, then I speak. You don't just cut me off after 3 seconds. I'll let you speak. But when people wanted Jimmy G to come back to New England, I said, why? The guy is an average quarterback.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you. I just said, Zach, it's not that he doesn't run. He doesn't have the threat of running. I'm talking about Aiden right now. He had one play where he had like 10, 15 yards for first down, and he threw it into traffic. We don't have the threat of running. So none of the defenders, they don't even care. They don't even come up. They just give them. I want a running quarterback. That's my point.
Okay. So you think Jimmy G is a great alternative who is made of glass?
That particular game, I thought he had a better chance to win. I want Justin Fields.
Okay. We'll see if the Bears end up trading him, Mike. But it's amazing to me how you have a fan of the Raiders who the Raiders are not a good team. You have this good story with Antonio Pierce. I don't believe in Aiden O'Connell. You guys won the damn game yesterday. You beat the Kansas City Chiefs 20-14. No one in America thought you were winning that game yesterday. Heck, I had an Isaiah Pacheco anytime touchdown it hit. I had the Eagles money line, which I knew was going to hit. I had the Kansas City Chiefs money line. It's going to win me like $150 yesterday. And I should be annoyed that the Raiders won the game because it screwed up my parlay. But you're a Raiders fan, and you don't really have a quarterback, and you want – I guess your point is you wanted to see Jimmy G get a chance a few weeks ago up against the Vikings when they scored no points, but then they scored 60-something points against the Chargers, and now they beat the Chiefs, and we're still bitching about the quarterback? Like, that's an off-season conversation. The only conversation right now about the Raiders should be this. Antonio Pierce deserves that job, and the only way he shouldn't get that job is if Jim Harbaugh wants that job. If Jim Harbaugh says, I want to stay at Michigan or I want to go somewhere else, then Antonio Pierce should be the coach of this team. And this is a guy in Mark Davis, friend of Samter, by the way, where Mark Davis, a few years ago, could have kept Rich Bisaccia. And I'm not saying Rich Bisaccia should ooh and ah anybody, but he had that team in the playoffs when he took over a dysfunctional situation that was more than just dysfunction with football. And they elected to bring in Josh McDaniels. So learn from your mistakes. I'm not saying Antonio Pierce is the only guy you have to consider, but the only name that I hear right now that I think is realistic, because you know Belichick's not winding up there. So the only other name is Harbaugh. And if the Raiders hire Harbaugh, I think that would be a phenomenal move. But I don't think it's likely. And if he's not the guy, then it has to be Antonio Pierce. But it's not as if Raiders fans the last 20 years have had much to cheer about. So here's my advice to Michael in Las Vegas. Who cares who's playing quarterback? I'm not saying that's your long-term who cares, but for the rest of this year, who cares? And don't criticize Antonio Pierce for just working with what he has, because what he's working with is the same thing Josh McDaniels had, and Antonio Pierce has been better than Josh McDaniels. But it's, once again, inconceivable to me that a Raider fan doesn't have only positive things to say when they call a national radio show after what did transpire yesterday, defeating Kansas City. Oh, yeah, by the way, without Josh Jacobs. And I know Zamir White goes for 145 yards, but I don't, like, I'm good with having my quarterback having some mobility. I don't need my quarterback to be this run-first quarterback. Like, there's reasons to say why Aiden O'Connell isn't the guy. I don't think anyone actually believes Aiden O'Connell is the guy. But for it to be, oh, he doesn't run the ball, and he was 4 rushing yards yesterday, or 4 carries for -4 yards. I don't even remember where they were in the game. Maybe there were some kneel downs at the end of the game, too, like whatever it was. For us to basically say that that's the reason why you are so upset today, then I don't think you're ever going to be happy as a football fan. Your team is not a good team, and they just beat the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not like your organization has a ton of victories the last 10 years against Kansas City. Enjoy them when they happen. But this offseason, yeah, you have to address the quarterback. You have to find the quarterback. And you also have to not mess up this head coaching hire in this head coaching cycle. Let me ask you this, Amter. Do you think Antonio Pierce should be the next head coach full-time on a permanent basis of the Las Vegas Raiders?
Unless they can get like a grand slam home run. Unless like Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, somebody who I think is like an elite level proven head coach, then yes, I think it should be Antonio Pierce.
And we could just toss out Belichick because Belichick is a McDaniels guy. They just went through the McDaniels experience. I do not think with the options that Belichick will have available that Belichick would consider the Raiders, even though he loved those facilities when he's out there doing joint practices.
You don't think he wants Tom Brady as his owner?
Oh, that would be another thing. But I don't think that's official yet, too. That's always a thing that we think is going to happen, but it hasn't become official yet. Yeah, that's another good point as well. I really do genuinely believe the only other name out there is Jim Harbaugh. And if it's not Jim Harbaugh, then it should be Antonio Pierce. Because I don't see a name that has a proven track record or a name that's out there that's a slam dunk better hire right now than Antonio Pierce. And eventually, you got to get the quarterback because a lot of times with coaches, you're only as good as the players that are around you. And they don't have a quarterback on the roster. But to sit here as a Raider fan and go, oh, should we go back to Jimmy G or you know, should we bench O'Connell? Like, who cares? It doesn't matter who you're playing at quarterback. And Jimmy G is not that dude. He's not the answer. And it was stupid on McDaniel's part to give him the contract that they gave him. And they need to get him on out of there or just have him be fine with holding the clipboard and taking all that money. You got to go get a new quarterback this offseason. All righty, I got to get to the Broncos. I'm concerned about the Broncos. The Broncos have been one of those teams, and it's year one. Year one to me is a wash. But they were really bad. Then they got hot. I was skeptical of them when they were hot, but they kept on winning. And now they're coming back down to earth. And we saw this 2 weeks ago when they got blown out by the Lions, where I'm not saying you have to beat the Lions, you just have to have a pulse. But you saw an issue on the sideline between Sean Payton and then also Russell Wilson. And a lot of us looked at that situation and said, there's something to it. And James Palmer made a great point from the NFL Network, where he was on with us. He said, I don't think they love each other, but I think they found a way to work together and be professional. But if you're at that stage already, you're one in the marriage. And that's why I made the joke back to James. It sounds like a couple that just got married and 3 months into their marriage, they're already in couples therapy. Like it doesn't seem in the honeymoon phase that if you're already in couples therapy, that that's going to be a relationship that ends up lasting. And you did see that pop up against the Patriots. The Patriots are a terrible football team. And I say that as a Patriot fan. You are at home, you're at Mile High, and you lose to that team. And I know it's more than just a quarterback and more than just a coach, but I think when you have a performance like that and you have a game where you lose to the Pats, maybe it's a carryover effect of just awkwardness in that organization where something happened the week before with Sean and Russ, and then it carried over into the next week. Ultimately, they're going to give this a go for another year. It's too much to get rid of Russell Wilson right now, and they gave up too much to get him. But I really do wonder this time next year how we're talking about it. And you know Sean is someone that it's almost his way or the highway, and he's very demanding. I think he has tolerated Russ, and at times Russ has looked like a good quarterback, and he's vastly improved from where he was a year ago. But I think because there's not love in that relationship, eventually, maybe a year from now, Sean's going to look to go get his guy for the future. Because they're not going to get rid of Sean Payton first. They're going to get rid of Russell Wilson first because Russ was already there. And then they basically handed over the franchise to a guy that's won a Super Bowl as a head coach in this league. Let me ask this to Pat Boyle, who is sitting to the left of me. How do you kind of dissect and interpret year one of Sean Payton and Russell Wilson and where you think their relationship is heading towards? Because it was really ugly in the beginning. Then they got hot in the middle. And now down the stretch, when there was actually some expectations, they were fighting on the sideline, let's call it what it is. Sean was berating Russ on the sideline, and Russ was basically tuning him out and not giving him the reaction back. And then they just lost to the pathetic Patriots, and I'm so annoyed that the Broncos couldn't beat the Patriots because my team goes from picking second in the draft to now to fourth in the draft, and I've been losing all football season, and now my team is playing themselves out of maybe going to get a quarterback or even Marvin Harrison Jr. But forget about my team. Go answer the question about Russ and Sean.
Yeah, I think that sideline interaction 2 weeks ago told you everything about where the relationship is right now. It's broken, and I don't think it'll ever – and this started from when Sean Payton came in and put his sword in the ground and said, no, I'm the king. Russell Wilson's not going to be able to have his guys in the building. This is my building. He shows him up on the sideline for, in my opinion, what was Sean Payton's mistake. I think he got mad with Russell Wilson for what? Rushing up to the line of scrimmage. You're the head coach. Call a timeout if you don't like the look of things for whatever reason, if you wanted to challenge or whatever the reason was. And then he shows him up on the sidelines. And, yeah, I mean, how do you not beat the Patriots at home?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Zappi.
Yeah.
Bailey Zappi.
Zappi hour, baby.
Oh, no. We are not happy for Zappi.
I don't think the relationship between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson is ever going to be one that's beneficial for for both parties or for the Denver Broncos. And I think...
have two alphas. You have two alphas who both have egos and both have insecurities. And we know Sean's going to win out over Russ, but there still has to be a level of respect to work together. And I don't think there's a level of respect with Sean to Russ. He respects his game and what he's done in this league, but when you're in his castle, when you're in his building on his turf, it's you do it my way and I'll tell you what you're doing right and then I'll definitely tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Is Sean Payton going to win the battle between him and Russell Wilson?
Yes, because Russell Wilson got humiliated last year and Russell Wilson was the punchline of every joke and there's a lot of people that don't like Russell Wilson.
True, but he has played a lot better, although it's been more game manager
style.
But
who was his coach when he played better?
That is true.
That's why I think he's going to win that argument, Sean Payton.
You don't think the finances will win the battle ultimately? Russell Wilson, all the guaranteed money, all the money that they owe him still on, what, 3 more years of his contract?
That's why I think they'll be together next year. They're in couples therapy. We all know a couple that is trending towards a divorce, and you're just waiting for that text. You're just waiting for that breaking news alert. You're just waiting for the gossip to spill on over. And in a year from now, that gossip will spill on over. And you know when it really could get a little bit interesting? In the draft. Imagine you definitely remember, it's not ancient history. The Eagles had Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere in the second round, they drafted Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Watch the Broncos this year draft a quarterback in the second round, and then bleep will really hit the fan.
I'll just say this. In an AFC West net now looks like it could be the taking as early as next year with the Chargers headed for a new head coach. And Justin Herbert, as great as a lot of us think he's been a .500 quarterback.
It's still the Chiefs division because the Chiefs will go get a wide receiver.
It is still the Chiefs division for now. But with the Broncos creeping up on them and the Raiders, if they have a quarterback, they're a great team. What is the conversation? Are they looking at cleaning house, the Denver Broncos, maybe after next year if they go through another season?
No.
Where they are under .500 offense can't get things going.
They will get rid of Russ, and then...
Sean Payton will have a chance to coach
Sean
a new quarterback.
Sean will have a chance for life without Russell Wilson.
Okay.
I still thought it was a big-time mistake for Sean to take that job with the Broncos. He wanted the Chargers job, but sometimes when you're addicted to coaching, you don't make the smart decision, and he probably should have stayed at Fox for another year because even though the Broncos have won in the past, I don't think that team is that good. Like, 7 wins right now with this team is actually a pretty damn good coaching job because there's not a lot on the offensive side of the ball that intimidates me, and defensively, that secondary was terrible in the beginning of the year, but now they started to have turned it around a little bit, I guess. Like, the one player I love on that team is Patrick Surtain. Outside of that, there's not a lot that I love with this Broncos team.
Kareem Jackson isn't headhunting every other week and can keep himself on the field. You like him in that secondary as well.
But, like, the wide receivers, like, Cortland Sutton's fine. Jerry Jeudy, I think, is vastly overrated. Javonte Williams has already, you know, unfortunately suffered a big injury. It's just not a lot that I love with that team. All righty. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Coming back with a news brief update time first. Here he is, Pat Boyle.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, so Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, and if you recall last week, he was put on the active roster even though he wasn't going to play this year, and they wanted to keep him on there so he could keep on practicing. Nick Bawden, the fullback, got cut. I believe they brought him back to the practice squad. It stinks for Nick, but then you see who he's married to. I don't think he is going through any real tough times right now. But this is Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show with the backlash from a player getting cut to make room for him to keep on practicing with the team.
We lost the previous week. I was, again, targeting the 24th to come back. So I assumed I was going to go on IR. I asked to be put on IR because, you know, there was a conversation, do you want to practice? And I said, not at the expense of somebody getting cut. I know how this works, and I didn't feel like I needed to practice to continue my rehab. I could do on-the-field stuff on the side, but obviously I got overruled there. You know, it is what it is. And yeah, that was a, you know, interesting situation. I called Nick right away. I just said, hey, I just hope you know this isn't coming from me. I asked him to put me on IR, but he actually said, hey, look, I'm vested. I'm getting my money. I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
So even if you believe Rodgers, and I don't pile on Rodgers like a lot of other people do, even if you do believe him that he said to Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, hey, don't activate me, that's almost as if when you're talking to someone and you know what's going to happen, but you want to look like the good guy and you go, oh, don't do this. No, please don't do it. You don't need to do that, but you know it's going to happen anyway. That's what I kind of look at, where we all know who really runs the Jets organization. It's Aaron Rodgers. And even if, let's say, he went to Saleh and Douglas and said, don't do this, he knew down deep that they still wanted him to be around the team and practicing with the team. Here is Aaron Rodgers on people calling him out for not making it back to return to play for the end of the season.
They're still trying to get their jabs in. You know, they're still trying to take a victory lap that, you know, somehow I couldn't beat science this time. That's it's right. Like, oh, really? I was on the practice for 11 weeks. Oh. I was, you know, in line to be able to push to play in after 14 weeks. So take it easy on the victory laps and have another jab while you're at it.
So I guess he's taking a shot. That wasn't intentional. But I guess he's taking a shot at people that got the vaccine and people were annoyed at him for not getting the vaccine and then lying about it and saying that he was immunized or whatever he said at that press conference. Are there really a contingency of people that are taking a victory lap that Rodgers, in his alternative way of rehabbing, is not back to playing? Like, I guess that's what he's... If that's the case, whoever those people are that are celebrating about him not getting back on the field, like, they're a bunch of losers. Because then this is not a pro or anti-vaccine stance. Like, I got the vaccine. And I think Rodgers saying, oh, go take another jab is, like, insufferable as well. But if you're going to be annoyed with someone for his take on something and then celebrate him not being able to return back because his alternative method didn't work, I never thought he was returning to play this year, but it is wild that he was even on the practice field. So a lot of this stuff, it's really insufferable. Like, I hate both sides of it, and it makes me just cringe. Let's go to Robert Saleh on facing his former QB, Joe Flacco. That's going to be the Thursday night game coming up in 2 days, Jets and Browns.
Joe is, I've said it before, he's like a Ford pickup truck. You might not like it in the summer, but in the winter months, December, January, that son of a gun starts humming. And he's playing some really, really, really good football.
You know, it's wild, because as a Patriot fan, right, there was always so much respect for Peyton Manning. Then we always knew Eli Manning beat Tom Brady in a big game. But the quarterback I feared the most through that 20-year run was actually Joe Flacco. Because Joe Flacco... Those Ravens teams were always so tough, and even though they didn't always beat the Patriots, Flacco just went to a different level up against the Patriots. Alrighty, the Suns. No one has talked about them. They've been injured. They're a game below 500. They've now lost three in a row. They lost last night to the Mavericks, and they are 14-15 on the season. Here is Kevin Durant. Oh, what a shame, courtesy of ESPN. He's frustrated in Phoenix.
You talk to people in Phoenix and around that organization, they can feel the frustration with Durant. Part of that certainly is the underwhelming supporting cast that comes from those massive trades for Durant and Bradley Beal that really gutted the organization and left them, you know, having to sign a lot of minimum players to fill out the payroll, and then an understanding that they lack the assets, the draft picks, the trade capital to go out and really improve this team.
So that was Adrian Wojnarowski talking about how KD is frustrated. I don't care if KD is frustrated. He made his bed. Now he has to lie in it. And what killed KD is when he was in Brooklyn, he picked Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving was the wrong choice. And he could never have an honest conversation with Kyrie that it was him, you know, it being Kyrie and not actually Kevin Durant wanting out of Brooklyn. But now he goes to the Suns, and now he's frustrated in Phoenix. This guy's going to be frustrated wherever he goes, and he should have never left the Warriors, but he felt like he had to leave the Warriors because he was annoyed about the criticism that was given to him when he was winning all these championships, winning all these final MVPs, when he embraced the role of a villain. And you should have just kept that role of the villain. Instead, he felt like he had to leave, and now Charles Barkley is probably right. Even though KD is an all-time great player, some guys are just better when they are the bus rider rather than the bus driver. And finally, here's Devin Booker calls out his teammates' effort.
Doncic with the steal. Booker giving chase. And Luka gets the lane.
Why aren't you running back? You just turn the ball over and don't run back.
So there you go. That encapsulates really all the problems with the Suns. You have Doris Burke on the call, and then you hear a hot mic pick up. You're going to miss a shot and you don't run back? Oh, man. What a shame. What a shame with the Suns. Seems like the sun is setting really early with the Phoenix Suns this year. Jeez Louise, that's a disaster. And it just shows you right now, nobody really cares about the NBA regular season because that team is polarizing. That team went out. They got stars, right? They got Bradley Beal. I know he's been hurt. You have Kevin Durant. Devin Booker, someone that is very easy to root for. But they are right now the 11th seed. They would even be in the play-in tournament right now. And they're 14-15. They'll eventually turn around. They'll make the playoffs. But man, I have not heard a pin drop about them until I saw this Woj thing from the other day. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, 2 hours in the books. We're coming on back, one more hour to play. When we do return, two teams that are usually losers are now two of the better stories in the NFL. We talk about their great times next.
Let's face it, most people aren't making massive turkey feasts on the regular. And after 364 days of not thinking about it, it can be hard to get that bird just right. That's where Instacart, the holiday rescue app, comes in. From getting all the ingredients to prep a full seasonal spread to getting last-minute swaps in a turkey emergency, Instacart has everything a holiday host needs to save face and save dinner. And right now, if you download Instacart, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders and delivery in as fast as 1 hour. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.